Imagine the softest sheets you've ever felt. Now imagine them getting even softer over time. That's what you'll feel with Boll & Branch's organic cotton sheets. In a recent customer survey, 96% replied that Boll & Branch sheets get softer with every wash. Start getting your best night's sleep in these sheets that get softer and softer for years to come. Try their sheets with a 30-night guarantee. Plus, get 15% off your first order at bollandbranch.com. Code BUTTERY. Exclusions apply. See site for details.
Everyone knows therapy is great for solving problems, but getting therapy has its own problems too, like finding the right therapist, fitting into their schedule, and of course, the cost. Well, BetterHelp can solve those problems. It's totally online and built around your schedule. It's surprisingly affordable too. Connect with a credentialed therapist by phone, video, or online chat, all from the comfort of your home. Visit BetterHelp.com to learn more and save 10% on your first month. That's BetterHelp, H-E-L-P.
Good evening, ladies and gentlemen. We're very happy to be here this evening to honor a very wonderful man, a man which we all love so very much. This man has done more for the blacks than anyone.
But before we jump into this session, make sure you subscribe, follow, share, and don't forget to give us at ASAP a 5-star rating. Yo, what's up? I got my boy Atali.
What's going on, Sean?
Chilling, man. How you doing? What's new?
Man, I'm good, man. I just recently relocated to Arizona. I've been out there for about 5 months now. It's different. It's very different.
What part of Arizona?
I'm in Phoenix, so I'm kind of central, 15 minutes away from Tempe, 15 minutes away from Scottsdale, so it's cool.
I used to live out there, man. I lived in Tucson, and we used to go to, every weekend, I used to drive up from Tucson to 12th and Rozier on the south side, baseline off of baseline and 12th.
How long was you out there for?
The hood. I was out there for like 2 years, I think, and we used to go downtown. Mill used to pop and Old Town Scottsdale. Is that still a thing?
Old Town Scottsdale. I got some stories from Old Town Scottsdale.
I got called a nigger at Axis Radius. Do they still have that?
Oh yeah, they still move like that, bro. It's still like that out in Scottsdale for sure, bro. Like sometimes, a lot of times actually, I've had issues getting into like clubs because of like Jordans or like type of sneakers I got on. They really on that.
Really? Like dress code and all that?
Bro, like they trying to make it, they saying it's like the new Hollywood. That's what they trying to make it.
Nigga, I hate when people say that.
That's the thing though. That's like the standard. That's like what people are like aiming for when they want to like make the nightclub scene. I don't know.
But man, is that club still there? Axis Radius?
Axis Radius? Nah, I'm not.
And what about Pantera? They had like, I used to go to strip clubs and everything. I had a good time though when I lived out there.
Shit, I'm still like trying to adapt to it, bro. I'm gonna be real with you. I'm in a crib or like I'm on a basketball court. I don't even really go out like that out there, AZ.
But what was you doing out there anyway?
So pretty much, man. Like, I just wanted to get away from LA. You know what I'm saying? Just to get that focus, lock in on my music, and right. You know, just get more in touch with myself and kind of get the vision clear of where I want to be at, you know?
Yeah, man. Sometimes you got to clock out and, you know what I'm saying, change your environment to kind of refocus and recalibrate. Recorded a lot of music when you was out there?
Yeah, man. I actually dropped a project in October called Trapper Treat.
Trapper Treat.
And, it's a little small EP that I did with my boy Slick City. Shout out Slick City. He's out there in Phoenix right now with his family. And, I just been just in my zone and just like messing around with different ideas and just coming up with different things.
That's dope, man. I was listening to that Trap or Treat earlier too. Trap or Treat. Trap or Treat. That's a tweet. Trap or Treat. I was listening to that earlier. And the vibe, man, I told you this before. I told you this off record, but I like your music, man. It's dark. I can understand what you're saying. And I've always thought too, since when I first heard your shit, that you kind of have like I don't want to say old school, man, because it ain't old school, but I definitely hear the influence of, you know, Pac, Big, you know what I'm saying, Jay, you know what I mean? It's just, it sounds like some grown man shit, but it's still current. It's still, you know, ready for radio, certain tracks ready for radio. You know what I mean? It's not like, it ain't bullshit. I don't want to talk shit about nobody.
Yeah.
But you know how these rappers, these mumble rappers are, and these quote unquote, you know what I mean? I don't want to shit on
nobody. I really appreciate that, man. That really means a lot. You know what I'm saying? Coming from a music connoisseur like yourself, you know what I'm saying?
Man.
So, whatever, you know, makes people happy, how they want to rock and make their music, that's on them. Like I tell everybody who don't like my music, you can always just press fast forward or just skip to the next song or whatever. So, you know.
It has substance, and I understand what you're saying. That's the big, the biggest component for me. I'm a little seasoned with my ears. So when I was hearing it, when I was listening to the Trapper tweet earlier, I was okay, this is dope. It's current. It's dark. The production is crazy on it. So another thing too, I want to talk about your music. I feel like a lot of these rappers, especially these new ones, I feel like some old ones too. We'll get into that later, but I feel like you kind of, and I don't know if you do or not, maybe you don't have to share this with us, but I kind of feel like you have a hand in production, like you know what I mean? Like, it's just the production on the songs that I've heard you do is very intricate. It's not just like a lazy ass fucking SoundCloud beat. It's like some real, like, layered production, melodic type of shit. It's not just like, you get what I mean? It's not like the nigga on the corner who got a beat from another nigga on the corner rapping. It's like, okay, this nigga's really in the studio and really is thinking about this shit and really is doing this for real. This ain't like for fun. This is a professional ass rapper. You know what I mean? And it's good songs, you know what I mean?
Yeah, so. It's all like me and my producers, man, we link up and we call it cooking. So anytime I hit them up, I'm just like, hey, bro, you ready to cook up? Like, let's get it in. Let's get a session in. And honestly, bro, like, I sit in with some of my producers when they make the beat, when they construct the beat and everything like that. But a lot of times, bro, it's all them. Like, they sit there, they lay down the bass line or whatever. They start with the chords and then, like, you know, just kind of play around with different sounds and you know, I'm there in the air telling them, all right, cool. How about we add this? Or like, oh, I can hear maybe this tempo going like this. So it's all a collaborative effort, you know what I'm saying? And I couldn't do this shit without them, man. Like, because they're a real big part of, like, my vision. And once we're on the same level and, you know, got the same understanding of where we trying to go with the direction of the track and the song, like, that shit is just is takeoff from there, you know?
That's dope, man. We hear it too when we listen to it. What's your favorite track that you've done? I know this is a hard question, but what's that song that you did and you're like, oh shit, man, I did my thing on this. What song is that? What's the song that, like, okay, so if I'm about to go to Europe and I'm about to meet with fucking King Tutankhamun from Egypt and you want me to play him a song, what's that song you want me to play? Like, what's the first song? Which don't have to be your favorite song of yours, but you know what I mean? What's that song that's like, okay, I'm doing my thing. This is gymnastics, showing all my talent. What song is that?
I want to go, and it has to be off of this project? Or just...
No, it could be just overall. Like, overall. What's that song that displays you at your best vocal ability, the production is on point, the bars is fire, you know what I mean? Like, the cadence, what's that song? Now, this doesn't have to be your favorite song, but it's a song that captures, you know what I mean?
I feel like in this...
Well, it could be your favorite song, though, but...
It's kind of, can I do a tie? Can I do like a... Or nah, I guess it got to be one.
Just one song. Make sure it's on Spotify and Apple Music. So, what song?
Man, like, I'm gonna go with just because, you know, like, it's my guy now in the AZ, and this is like, you know, it's my big brother. You know, like, I'm gonna go with No Worries. Okay. I'm gonna go with Ain't Worried. I'm gonna go with that one. Ain't Worried.
Before I kiss feelings, I catch me a flight. Just bang the bitch, I might hit her tonight. When we get finished, I text her goodnight.
I chose that one because at the time, I felt like I was being challenged because when Slick City originally made the beat, I had like the biggest form of writer's block that I've ever had in a long time. So,
oh shit,
it was like one of those beats where I had to push through, right, and I had to really fuck with the cadence a little bit different than what I was used to because I got comfortable. So he brought that out of me, you know what I'm saying? Being uncomfortable and being able to deliver in that moment in time. And with Ain't Worried, it was just like, all right, cool. Like, fuck it. Like, I'm going to just go in and see how it goes. You know what I'm saying? And it came out cool. A lot of people, they fuck with it. They rock with it. And yeah, man, that's like one of my favorite joints.
Okay. And this is on Apple Music and Spotify.
Yeah, this is on Spotify, Apple Music, Tidal, Deezer, Google Music Play.
Oh, so it's everywhere.
Bro, it's everywhere.
Okay, so you guys make sure you check that out because we're definitely going to circle back to you and let you know what we feel about that. But how long ago did you record this?
We recorded that in, I want to say probably July. We did that in like July.
Okay. So it's barely, it's not a year old yet. And that's good. You got some recent shit that you kind of hold to high standard. Is that your favorite song of yours?
That's the most recent favorite song of mine.
Okay.
Like, I don't want to, because I mean, like, I'm just speaking off of, you know, most recent release projects. And that's just like, that moment for me was just like a big sigh of relief because I couldn't really push through. But, you know, Slick City brought that shit up out of me, you know, on that particular track. And 25-8, shout out my nigga Crash. He's out here in L.A. I think that's that's one of my, like, songs that kind of, like, raised the bar for where I wanted to be and where I see myself with this music shit, for real.
All right, that's dope, man. I find a lot of people who, you know, are going through whatever they're going through, writer's block, as you said. When they're coming out of that, they come out with like their best material, you know, and it's dope that you have people on your team who kind of know your potential and know, you know what I mean, how far you can go and know how far to take you. I mean, you said that's your best track. You did that in July, so ain't worried. You guys make sure you check that out on every platform. What's your least favorite song?
My least favorite song. Probably, and this is like just overall or like, so I did a track called Chloe.
Chloe.
It's a very, not very old, but I recorded it quite some time ago. And I mean, this is all part of me growing into being an artist and, you know, being more vulnerable of my talents that I've been given. And I didn't really like the mix. The mix wasn't really cool. And then my vocals, I don't know. So I guess it's just like an internal type of thing. I didn't really like how I sounded on the track. So I think that we could have probably maybe splashed a little bit of auto-tune on that track. But a lot of folks, you know, they like it. That's just me being, you know, toughest critic on myself. And but yeah, bro, like Chloe was like, at that time, like, I had, like, kind of like a relationship situation going on, and
Was her name Chloe?
No, her name wasn't Chloe, actually. I did that song from the perspective of the woman.
Oh, shit, that's dope.
Yeah. Wait. So, like, yeah, I pretty much, it was me kind of admitting my faults and my wrongs, and just kind of questioning myself as this other person that she, you know, confined in and wanted to be with, but I just didn't deliver, you know what I'm saying? in the aspect of the relationship and with the song. And I was in a very, very, very weird space at the time. So it was just like, to me, I didn't really feel the emotion, but everyone was like, oh no, bro, like you really delivered the emotion on it. Like everyone was thinking that like I was singing to her, but it was actually like from her perspective.
Yeah, that's dope, man.
Yeah.
Hey, so since you explained it, you know what I mean? You might listen back. Of course, it might need work, but that perspective is pretty dope. And being able to do that, you know what I mean? From a woman's perspective, your heart throb. So, you know what I mean?
Yeah, bro. it was crazy because, like you know, I got some sisters, you know what I'm saying? I got a bunch of female siblings in my family. So when they heard the track, they all thought they was just like, yo, we never met. Who the fuck is, who's Chloe? Like, you never brought a Chloe around. I was just like, yeah, because y'all don't really know Chloe like that because y'all weren't supposed to know Chloe like that. Because
right, right.
it didn't really pan out as planned, you know what I'm saying? But, you know, being around, you know, different strong women in my family, you know, you hear a lot of different things, you know, you get a lot of different perspective on relationships and communication with other people, and you kind of draw from that. So that's over time being in a relationship with old girl,
right?
And being around, you know, the women in my family, I was able to like put it together. So
who would you say is your biggest influence? Like, who'd you listen to growing up?
Oh man, this is about to like fuck you up, bro. So like I used to listen to like a lot of like Sade, bro.
Oh man, that's dope.
Yeah, Sade, my dad, a lot of reggae, a lot of dance hall, a lot of R&B. But Sade was like one of those creatives and artists that like, I don't know, she had like a very soothing and comforting sound,
man.
To
she
her.
She has.
Bro.
It's not she. She has that.
Yeah,
you know?
I know. I'm all
timeless
talking down.
Music,
yeah.
Too. It's timeless, and that music. But how have you incorporated Sade into, you know, your music, your brand?
Like, well, it's her being vulnerable, man. Like, if I don't know if too many people know about her backstory and just like, you know, things she had to endure growing up as a child or what she's seen. If you do a little bit of research about her, like
shit, I didn't know.
Yeah, it's like it's pretty fucked up. Like things she had to experience growing up and her mom and everything like that. And I think what I got the most from her, what I still do get from her, is just her being brave enough and vulnerable enough, bro. Because a lot of times, you know, we in this whole era where it's like, oh, you can't talk about your feelings, you can't express that you're really in love with somebody, you can't right. express that you hurt because everybody gonna look at you like a chump. You know what I'm saying? So
right.
I took it upon myself. The more I started listening to her like music and then like really peeping out her lyrics, I'm just like, damn, yo, she's like, she talking to me like I grew up with her and some shit. Like,
oh shit, that's dope when an artist do that.
Yeah, like it's like I really, because I look at lyrics, man, I really sit down and read lyrics like as a book or some shit. So after, you know, doing my little bit of research I had about her and reading her lyrics, bro, I was just like, damn, okay. So
this
I need
is
to,
some real shit she
yeah,
was
this
talking
is
about.
This is, yo, she was talking about like some real, like, heartfelt type shit. And this is like, I'm young, so I'm just like, this is like, oh, okay, this is like soothing, like, you know what I'm saying? I'm chilling, like
right.
My dad used to always put that shit on to like have me calm down after like practice or like, all right. Once the Sade go off, yo, it's time to hit the, you know what I'm saying, hit the sack, go to your room, go to sleep. So
Now you about to send me, when we're done with this, down a Sade rabbit hole, because I'm like, she be talking about some deep shit. I thought it was all about love, man. You know what I mean? But that's definitely timeless music and definitely a good artist to kind of, you know, have embedded in you when it comes to, like, your musical roots and shit. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
You know, so definitely, man. What is your favorite Sade song? Do you have one?
By Your Side.
Oh, shit. Okay. You said that quick, like, yeah. Okay, so this is some real shit.
Yeah, by your side. Really
listening, Sade. Y'all hear that, lady? She's listening, Sade. So, you know, you want to get to his heart, throw in some Sade. I like that By Your Side Neptune's remix. That was my shit.
I never heard of By Your Side Neptune.
We gotta play it for you, man.
Oh, man, you put me on game now.
What about rappers, though? Like, what's your favorite? Who's your rapper, the rap rapper you listened to growing up?
Like, it's hard, bro, because, like, I'm a big, like, Outkast.
Oh, man,
like,
man.
I fuck with Outkast. I fuck with the whole, like, Dungeon Family, like vibe for real, you know what I'm saying? So they've always been like one of my favorite little duos and groups that I like.
Yeah, Outkast, man, one of the greatest of all time. They don't get the credit they deserve. I don't know who made the group though. I don't know if it's Okay, I think Andre 3000 is good without Big Boy, but I don't think Big Boy is good without Andre 3000. Does that make sense?
Yeah, no. I mean, Big Boy. I mean.
What was his solo album? He got two solo. They weren't.
No, they. I think. See the thing. The thing about. I think Andre 3 Stacks is just more, charismatic.
Yeah. Definitely, I got that shit. Yeah, he got Vicious Lies and Danger. I think Andre 3000 is. He was more the creative, innovative one, out of the two. He took more risk, and I think over the time of us knowing Outkast, we kind of 3000 was always like the weird one. So like when he was doing some off the fringe type of shit, we kind of like expected it and embraced it. You know
yeah,
what I mean?
Yeah.
Because we were so used to him kind of just being all crazy and shit, and I think the pairing with him and Big Boy. Next to crazy ass 3000, allowed Big Boy to get the status that he has. I don't think I'm explaining this right. Big Boy's solo albums is whack.
Yeah, no.
That, I mean, I'm trying to be all deep, but they're not.
I'm saying, but yeah.
But together, Dave, like that. That man,
it's a good, it's like
Aquemini, fucking Southern Playalistic Cadillac Music. Is that what it's called?
Yeah,
the first one, Aquemini, Aquemini, Stankonia,
AT and what was Aliens. The last one? No, AT Aliens, Aquemini,
no, Southern, it's Southern Player Cadillac Music, Southern Playalistic Cadillac Music. That was the first one. The second one was AT Aliens, the third one was Stankonia. The fourth one was,
No, it wasn't Speaker Box. Was it the no?
It was Speaker Box. Love Below.
Okay.
Four albums. Just creative, man. Like the production with Organized Noise and the shit they were doing for Outkast. Man, just phenomenal. And fucking Big Boy, Miss Jackson. I mean. He just fell off when he went solo. I don't know what it was.
Andre 3 Stacks has brought way more to the table, man. Like, he was entertaining. He can sing. And I don't know, bro. It's just crazy.
He was just a different nigga that we never seen before.
Bro, it's just like.
And he was talented.
Anything that he would say, it was just like. It was how he said it, and then it was just like it was golden, and then all his features is just fucking flame, bro. Like he bodies features like it's literally like second nature to him, yeah. Bro. And I think that Big Boy, we didn't embrace Big Boy like we did Andre just because he didn't take the risk. He didn't take the artistic risk to like go against the grain. He was like, all right, cool.
But you know what? Before I say what I gotta say, I looked up the albums. They got six albums. Well, five. There's the last one I don't really count. Southern Playalistic, Cadillac Music, that came out in 1994. AT Aliens, that was 96. Aquemini was 98. Stankonia was 2000. Speaker Box Love Below was 2003. Then Ottawa was 2006, but that don't really count. I think Big Boy did what he had to do on all I'm not claiming Out of Wild, so I'm going to say five. All five of those albums, Big Boy did what he wanted to do, or what he was supposed to do. Just as good as 3000. But
Can you honestly sit here and listen to Big Boy sing on the track with Andre on the track at the same time?
Yeah, I could enjoy it. The same, yeah. Because even the shit that Big Boy did, even the solo songs that Big Boy had on what the speaker box Love Below, they were slapping. But like, I think it's just that component. You need both of them. You know what I'm saying? You need both of them simultaneously or at the same time. You know, it's like, it's a package deal. So without three stacks, it's just not happening for Big Boy. You know what I mean? And I think that he should have, when three stacks is like, okay, I'm taking a break from music or I'm going to pop out here and there. Big Boy should have done the same shit. He released these albums that ain't about shit, these solo albums. You can't name a song from Big Boy solo album.
Nah, I can't.
You can't. I don't know if it was a production. I don't know where it went wrong for him. But it's just like, man, like, now you're an old rapper trying to be cool. When you try to, like, pop up on people's shit, have a song with T.I., it's not cool. He got fucking four solo albums out. You can't name one song.
You can't. I heard the Sir Lucius Left Foot was okay. It was all right.
It just not worked. He should have left it alone when Three Stacks left it alone. And these niggas got money. They're like one of the biggest groups of all time. Like selling groups of all time. Not rap groups, just groups. They got money. You know what I'm saying? He got bread. So I don't know why he. But I'm not a musician. So I don't know how that is. If music is in your heart, people say they can't live without music. But maybe that's his, you know what I mean?
I feel like that was his.
But the magic is gone, man. Like, it's just nobody paid attention to Big Boy after. But yeah, Outkast, man. We could talk about this for hours, man. That was that whole movement. Dungeon Family, then LaFace was doing all that shit. Organized Noise, man. Three Stacks with Hey Ya. Remember that? That
was the shit. Yeah, bro. Like, I just honestly just like. They were really breaking down barriers with the sounds.
Hell yeah,
like,
they were.
Just the way they approached with their videos.
Bombs like, over Baghdad.
Oh, my God.
Yeah.
That's a trippy-ass video, bro. Like, I used to watch that. I was fried out my mind when I saw that video the other day. And I was just like...
We weren't ready for that, man.
Nah. I was just like, back and like, just replaying it in my head. I was just like, that shit caught me off guard. Like,
and it was fun. It was like fun music, too. It was like, it was some player shit, but it was like fun. It wasn't like really objectifying women, but it was. It wasn't like on no hood shit, but it was. It was like, it had like a positive element to it. It was like, you know what I mean? With everything that we know rap not to be. That's why they were some of the biggest selling group of all time or whatever. So like they were definitely doing their thing then. 3000 was just a star. He had that magic, that sauce, you know what I mean? And I don't think we were able to consume Big Boy without the Three Stacks pairing.
Yeah. Cause he was like the cool one. Big Boy was like the chill, laid back, like cool. Andre was just like, all right, y'all. What you see is what you get.
But I wonder if we could take Three Stacks without Big Boy.
I feel like we,
you know what I mean?
I'm down for that, but at the same time, it just wouldn't be the same if he was to drop like a 15 track.
Hey, folks, I'm Mark Maron from the WTF podcast, and this episode is brought to you by Kleenex Ultra Soft Tissues, your ally to help tackle your allergy symptoms this season. I love the change of seasons, but nobody loves pollen and all those other things floating in the air that make you sneeze during this nice weather. Kleenex Ultra Soft Tissues are hypoallergenic and allergist approved. So fight back against watery eyes and runny noses without worrying about irritating your skin. For this allergy season, grab Kleenex and face allergies head on.
This Mother's Day, celebrate the extraordinary women in your life with a heartfelt gift from Blue Nile. Whether it's for your mom, a mother figure, or yourself as a mom, find that perfect piece to express your love and appreciation. Explore Blue Nile's exquisite pearls and mesmerizing gemstones that she's sure to love. Enjoy fast shipping options like guaranteed free shipping and returns. Make this Mother's Day unforgettable with a piece from Blue Nile. Right now, get up to 50% off at BlueNile.com. That's BlueNile.com.
Burrow's furniture is built for the way you live. From ensuring easy assembly and disassembly to honoring highly requested new colors for their award-winning seating, they always have their customers in mind. Their modular seating is made out of durable materials to last and grow with you. And with Burrow, you always get fast, free shipping. Get up to 60% off during Burrow's Memorial Day sale at burrow.com/ACAST. That's burrow.com/ACAST. burrow.com/ACAST.
Wow.
Nice.
Yeah.
What you're hearing are the sounds of people everywhere putting on Bombas socks, underwear, and T-shirts made from absurdly soft materials that feel like plush clouds. Yeah, that plush. And the best part? For every item you purchase, Bombas donates another to someone facing homelessness.
Bombas. Big comfort for everyone. Go to bombas.com/ACAST and use code ACAST for 20% off your first purchase. That's bombas.com/ACAST. Code ACAST.
Just straight up, just Andre. I mean, right. It wouldn't be the same, but I wouldn't mind it. I wouldn't be opposed to it, you know?
But, okay, so Three Sacks and Big Boy, though. If you guys are listening, do not make any more music. Leave your legacy alone. You guys do a tour. Do like a little face tour or whatever.
Please,
I
do
hate
a tour.
When people come back from the dead and try to make music and it fucking bombs. don't fucking. So you guys are cool. You guys are forever. And I don't want to just limit them to hip hop or rap or black music. You guys are forever etched in.
What you mean Soulja Boy came back? Soulja Boy came when he did his thing.
He came back to him. Nigga, Soulja Boy. Hey, shout out to Soulja Boy, though. He tried to. I mean.
He had his little run when he came back. He tried to, like, you know, dethrone everybody with his comeback speeches.
He had a video game. Remember he came with the video game? And it was like a fucking fake Nintendo.
Bruh, I'm still waiting on mine because I bought that shit. Oh, wow. I tried to support him.
Really?
Shit backfired. Yeah.
That's why you don't support black businesses.
I want my money back.
I'm joking. Yeah. Who else, though, besides Outkast? I kind of see that Outkast influence, too.
Yeah, I like the, you know, because I'm starting to get more comfortable doing the whole singing type of vibe. You know what I'm saying? I wasn't really, like, 5 years ago, you couldn't get me to, you know, sing an ad lib or even do, like, any type of effects with any type of harmony to it. But now, you know, I'm getting more comfortable, kind of getting to my bag and just trying different things. So, like, you know, I might serenade a few of these ladies on the track with my vocals, you know what I'm saying, every now and then, you know, give them a little bit of, you know, the yin and the yang. But another influence of mine just growing up, man, I fuck with Nas heavy.
Oh, shit. Nas. Yeah, definitely Nas. The greatest of all time, man.
Yeah, I fuck with Nas heavy. I mean, I know it's Big and, like, Pac and, like, Jay and all that, but, I mean, I'll be just sounding kind of redundant. I fuck with Nas because he just was, his shit was just, like, it was honest. He rapped the whole song backwards. He told a story. He gave stories backwards, and he broke it down. If you really listen to his lyrics and his bars and his, like, he gave stories to you backwards. He gave stories to you starting from middle to beginning or middle to end or end to middle. Like, he always switched it up, man. And I just always admired that.
These are my three classes when I think of. And you're in rapper, so let me know if I'm doing this right. I think of Pac and Big. Then I think of Jay-Z and Nas. Then I think of who's the third class now of top lyricists, bars. So first is Big and Pac. Second is Jay-Z and Nas. Now who's the third class?
Now I'm not even so like you probably never really heard so.
No, nigga, we're not talking about your homeboy. We're talking about who is the third era of greatest MCs, lyricists out. Before we go back to Nas, because I got a problem with Nas, but who's the third?
You know, nigga, sleep on.
Nigga, don't be pulling that thing.
Yo, no,
I know a bunch of rappers better than the niggas I got in mind. I mean, you better than one of the niggas I got in mind that you know is revered as one of the greatest new lyricists. But come on now,
fuck
two.
All right,
one East Coast and one like.
So I could choose two, one from East Coast and one from like another.
I'm not talking about your homie. I'm not talking about a nigga you know who got a few albums out. Who is hard. I know a nigga down the street that rap better than everybody we just talked about. I'm saying like top though. Like when these conversations are happening, who is the two niggas that people talk about when they talking about hip hop and rap and bars? Real substance. Who are they talking about? Tell me if you give up.
I'ma have to go with
Cue the Jeopardy music.
Yo, Ludacris. That's my wild card. Is Ludacris.
Okay, just give up. Just give up.
Don't sleep on Ludacris, dog. Ludacris got
some. No, I fuck with Luda, man.
Ludacris goes hard.
Let me just. Okay, first era of this is when these conversations first started happening. Is Nas, not Nas, Pac and Notorious Big. Even though Nas was rapping longer than Notorious Big and probably Tupac. So that's the first era of
that conversation. Well, Pun.
Okay.
I got to go with Pun.
So you're taking it somewhere else.
You gave me East Coast.
Number three is fucking J. Cole and Kendrick Lamar.
Oh, so you're going by eras as opposed to. So you're going sort of.
Yeah, when you.
Okay. I get it.
Pac and Big. Then it was Jay and Nas. And now it's J. Cole and Kendrick. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Now, I'm not saying that they're the greatest of all time, but in those conversations, those are the six niggas that always come up. But that's another episode. Let's talk about this. My problem with Nas, I think Nas is a way better. Nas will eat up Jay-Z, like, on Jay-Z's best day, lyrically. Nas. Greatest of all time. I think Nas is probably one of the greatest rappers of all time. I'm even going to pair him next to Pac, okay? But the problem, my issue with Nas has terrible songs.
Yeah.
He does not pick great songs.
But you got to understand, but you got to, like, you gotta look at who's behind the artist as far as production.
Nas been in the game for 100 years and he just makes terrible, terrible records.
But you gotta think about it, like who's like think of the producers he's worked with, right? And his singles. I mean, the most known singles that like we know Nas for is from like he got like what the
If I Rule the World.
Yeah, he had Lauren on there.
Ether.
You know what I'm saying? Ether.
One mic. The shit he did with The Firm.
Fucking Hot Boys with Diddy Missy. And Missy.
Yeah.
But then it's just like.
Yeah, he ain't got no. He picks terrible music. He picks terrible songs. Affirmative Action was hard though. On It Was Written. You remember that?
Yeah.
With Foxy Brown and all
that. But like he needs, if anything, he always needed some type of feature to help carry him to get that single popping. With Jay, it's like you don't.
Jay picks songs, and you're a rapper, so you know what I mean. Like, I don't know this world, you know, the inside, but like Jay-Z picks the song, then he makes the lyrics. Versus Nas, it's like Nas just like is rapping, and then he picks the song after. You know what I mean? Jay-Z creates the song, or creates his bars around the song. And around the beat and the production and shit. Well, he picks his beats first. I mean, but I think they all kind of do that. But Jay-Z just makes good song. And fucking Nas makes trash song. Jay-Z don't be talking about shit. And half of the shit he makes, he doesn't have to talk about anything anymore because he's Jay-Z. But it's just like, I be reading some of that shit. Like, I was listening to fucking, It Was Written. That was like Affirmative Action. If I Were the World, Black Girl Lost. Mm-hmm. That was my shit. That's a good song, Black Girl Lost. You guys check that out. But listen to this. I was reading the lyrics. I don't know why. Something he said, and I was like, okay, this shit is cold as fuck. But then I was like, the song is just trash. Like, the hook is garbage. It's like, I probably would never listen to this again. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Versus Jay-Z, it's like, Jay-Z just picked the song. Same thing with Kendrick and Cole. I feel like the disconnection is Cole just don't have the song. Cole is better lyrically than Kendrick, but Kendrick be picking them songs, man. The beats, the melodies, the fucking...
Cole got songs, bro. Cole got songs.
I don't
songs.
Know, man.
Cole got...
Cole's kind of boring.
You didn't fuck with Forest Hill Drives?
Cadence. I mean, he's dope. I mean, he's... I think he's better lyrically than Kendrick, but he just... It's boring after a while. Even the shit he did with Missy. Not fuck with Missy, but it's just like... Cole, man. But what I do like about Cole, though, is Cole does... He does, like, the majority of all his beats. Dude is fucking talented as fuck. He'll be in the game for a minute. They both are, you know what I mean? All these niggas are, but they're all legends and have legacies and stuff. But Cole is just... I wouldn't see Cole in concert. I would see Kendrick in concert. I wouldn't see Cole. Cole's just boring. You know what I mean? It's like the cadence is... He has, like, what, three cadences? Like, way he rap... You know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
Just it's just very, like... It's easy to listen to. It's easy to digest. He be saying some real deep shit. You know what I'm saying? He would eat Kendrick Lamar up lyrically on Kendrick's best day. You know what I mean? I'm from the West and I'm saying this, but like, he ain't got the songs, man. He ain't got the songs. Kendrick Lamar got the package. You know what I mean? I think Kendrick Lamar kind of had the cheat code too with the Snoop and the Dre, the whole, you know, the West Coast shit. The West Coast rap is known for the songs and the melodies and stuff like that. But Cole just ain't got the fucking songs, man. Like Nas ain't got the songs.
I think you sleeping on some of his songs, bro.
I don't know, man. You gotta turn
on
this.
I think
I saw Cole in concert and it was just boring. I saw Cole in concert at Staples Center and like it was before Kendrick got performed at the Grammys, whatever year that was. And I saw Kendrick, it was just two totally different. Kendrick Lamar was like a production. It was like fireworks and lights and running around the stage, dancing and shit. Fucking Kendrick Lamar, I think he even changed clothes. He's like a star. J. Cole is just... People was hyped, though. It was a dope show, but it was just like the two hottest niggas in the game. They've been holding it down for, what, 5-6 years? And Cole is just... I don't know if the artistry has grown since we got to know him.
I feel like it has. I think that I don't know if you ever heard. I'm pretty sure you heard some of his features that he's been on.
He's
as
dope
of recently.
I mean, everybody.
He doesn't do features.
No, he don't. He don't.
He doesn't do features. So he went on a whole run where he's been doing features, and I feel like his
I like
style.
That London.
Yeah, his style and everything is kind of like it's catering to the new wave of artists, and people are starting to like fuck with him more. Like,
but now he's old.
Yeah, but I mean, like, he has his own label. He's putting all these other young cats on right now. You know,
oh,
what
yeah,
I'm saying?
Like Ari Lennox.
Yeah, so you gotta kind of. I'm just playing both sides. You kind of want to take that into account too, because it's like, I mean, Kendrick ain't got his own label. Kendrick ain't
don't need his own label.
He don't need his own label, but. J. Cole don't really need his own label. He's doing it out of the... And then just recently, just me being a dweeb, like, I just found out the other day that J. Cole just owned his masters. He's got all his masters.
Oh, shit, that's a big deal.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah, so he writes, produces his own shit, and he got the masters. So, yeah, that nigga got bread. He goes out his way. I seen him online. It was, like, a few months ago. He's riding his bike. I think it was downtown L.A. I'm just like, nigga, we... He was riding his bike trying to act like a regular person. I'm like, nigga, you just being stupid. Like, I thought he was doing too much. You know what I mean? Like, nigga, you're a star. You're one of the biggest rappers. Everybody know who you are, J. Cole. Stop trying to act regular and do your own grocery shopping and ride bikes and shit. Nigga, you can't ride bikes.
I think that helps keep, you know what I'm saying, the humility of, like, superstars when they reach a certain point because... We don't know. Maybe, I mean, like, he doesn't want to be, like, maybe that's, he doesn't want to, like, have, like, three bodyguards with him while he's shopping or, like, you know, he doesn't want to, like.
I mean.
I don't know.
Nigga, you're famous. You picked to be famous, so that comes with the territory. Bodyguards and, you know what I'm saying? You can't just be riding a bike down the street or anything.
Why not?
I'm joking around. Oh. It was dope. It's dope. When I was, I think it was like a few months ago. I'm like, okay, this nigga is really out here trying to be regular right now. I'm trying to ride bikes. I'm too good to ride bikes, and now we got J. Cole riding bikes. I'm going to have to start riding a bike now. But he's just boring, man, so hopefully this next project, he would kind of pick it up. I would love to see him work with outside producers because the beats are starting to sound the same. You know what I mean? So go ahead and call Pharrell and use, you know, our Tim, the greatest. Or fucking Dre. Get Dre out of retirement. That'll be dope.
That'll be actual. No, I need K-Dot and J. Cole to drop that joint album.
Oh, yeah, yesterday. I think that'll fucking push J. Cole into, you know, a mega star. You know what I mean? Because that Kendrick Lamar got bars, man. Kendrick Lamar knows songs. He knows cadence. Nigga rapping in Spanish on that Schoolboy Q shit. Kendrick Lamar is dope. But I think, you know what I'm saying, you put Kendrick Lamar high energy next to a monotone J. Cole, it would definitely make J. Cole kind of, because J. Cole is kind of, Kendrick Lamar is full of energy when you hear him, you know what I mean? Fast rapping and shit like that. Cole's kind of like, you know what I mean?
I feel like they go, well, they actually did a track together with Jeezy.
I remember that. That was hot.
That shit was hard. Like, I can't even knock. They both did their thing on that track.
Which one of the two, Cole or Kendrick, which one of the two you were prefer? If you had a chance to make a song with either one of them, which one would you make a song with?
Probably J. Cole. Probably J. Cole. Because, no, listen, because
okay,
he's a producer. He's a producer. You feel me? And, okay. Like, I could sit there with him and build on something from scratch.
Right.
Just across the board, like, just it'd just be me and him in there. And he could start cooking up on whatever program, software that he uses. And we can really build. That's for me personally, it's like, that's why I, you know, choose J. Cole, because the production. Because then I'll be the one that's like, all right, maybe we should, like, change this a little bit, do this.
So this is strategic.
Yeah.
If you and J. Cole were on a song, you would definitely outshine J. Cole vocally. And, you know, I heard, you know, your shit, so I know you switch it up and stuff. You switch up your flow versus J. Cole kind of do the same shit. So this is very strategic, and this is very, that's kind of cheating a little bit.
Nah, bro.
You don't want to be on the track with Kendrick, because you know Kendrick go
show his ass. Well, that's the thing. It's like,
Cole go play it safe.
Nah, Cole ain't going to play it safe. I mean, I get on the track with Kendrick, but I, honestly, bro, like, I'm just looking at, as far as, like you said, since, you know, like, Cole doesn't pick good songs. So I think that with my ear and his ear, we can, like, make some crazy-ass track, you feel me, that we can both deliver on. No, I want the nigga to bring his best. I would want Kendrick to bring his best. That's what it's about. Like, I wouldn't want him to be, like, subpar on a track with me. Like, I want him to bring his best out. Is vice versa, you know what I'm saying? I would get on a track with K Dot, and I would, like, try my best. I would give my that control verse. Like,
right.
Everybody got off their ass and was like trying to go to the studio after he dropped that shit. That's what it's about. Yeah. You feel me? But, like, I just think, me personally, I would rock with J. Cole more just because he's a producer. You know what I'm saying? Like,
he's more creative.
Yeah. And like, he just has, like, that production air to him, where it's just like, it'd just be me and him, and it'd be like, nah, bro, you should put this.
Oh,
in.
Yeah, I see what you're saying. The, like, process would be more.
Yeah, it'd be more rounded to what we would want it to sound. What my ideas and his ideas, as opposed to Kendrick shit. Kendrick's production is crazy, nigga. Like,
yeah.
His shit is just like Good Kid, Mad City. All his projects is just like, you could tell it's been well written and well planned out from beginning to end. It's literally like a fucking story. Like,
conceptual, yeah.
That's you know what I'm saying? And that's cool. But I think that, you know, Kendrick wasn't in there, like, making a beat or anything like that. Or, like,
no, being
like, you know what I'm saying? Like, with Cole to be in there, I'd be like, no, I have more drums here. No, hi-hats here. You know what I'm saying?
Oh, Cole has more of a vision of where he's about to go and what he's about to do and what type of music he's about to make. I see what you're saying.
Yeah.
I think because you're a creative person and you're behind the scenes when it comes to doing your music, you kind of resonate with J. Cole more so than Kendrick Lamar. So I understand that. That's pretty dope, you know, but That'll be dope if it happened, too. I mean, you in Hollywood now, man, so anything could happen.
Ain't no telling.
Accessing the people you know.
Ain't no
telling. We might hear this in a few months. Who knows? That's crazy. What about Big and Pac? Which one are you picking to do a song with?
Damn, I can't just do both. Do like, they can't both.
No, you gotta pick
we can't
one.
All just do a song
one.
Together.
I ask this question to everybody. You got to pick one.
Yo, I would probably do a song. I'll probably do a song with Big.
Nigga, why Big?
I would probably do a song with Big because it'll be like, I mean, first and foremost, I mean.
I'm noticing a trend here, by the way. Go ahead.
What's the trend?
East Coast. You ain't got no love for the West.
Well, Tupac is from the East Coast.
Nigga, Tupac is. No, that doesn't count. Tupac is from the West Coast. Everybody knows that.
Okay, he rapped the West Coast, but Tupac's birth certificate say he was born on the East Coast. You know what I'm saying? I get it. Like he rapped the West Coast to the fullest. I ain't knocking that. But with Big, it's just I don't know, bro. Like that Ready to Die shit. That shit had me thinking. Like the nigga was talking about suicide. He had suicidal thoughts. Like
yeah, I mean,
like ain't nobody. I mean, like yeah, you're not hearing Pac talking about like these are like I think the things that. Big talking about and Pac, they both had their own perspective on things. They both were coming from different type of lifestyles and shit like that. But a lot of people don't know, like, shit, Pac was never really, he started out as a very conscious rapper before he got more popular for the Thug Life shit, which is cool. That Pac was just like, this when he was with Digital Underground, you know what I'm saying, doing his shit, speaking on topics that was like, very like conscious and very like about the community. And I think with Big, he was always him throughout his whole career. It was
Big only has two studio albums. Actually one, and I'm sure Ready to Die was made, put pieced together after he died.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? So Big don't even have the material to I'm gonna let you finish.
No, I think I just know from like from what I like to listen to and just you know what I've learned from him is just like his story, whatever he told, it was him all the way through. I feel like, I mean, Pac just I felt like once he got to a certain point with it, that's what we wanted to embrace him on when he was talking about what he wanted to talk about as opposed to the good stuff that he was talking about.
So you would pick Big over Pac.
I would pick Big over Pac, man, because I just feel like we can make a dope like parties like track, and you know what I'm saying, like it'd be just dope to do that with Big, because a lot of his songs is just is like it's very soulful. I like the tracks that he used. To me, in my opinion, Pac's beats weren't that good to me. Biggie beats were way more
put you out.
were way more soulful. He used a lot of samples. I love samples.
I love
you
samples
feel me?
Too.
And he used some pretty good samples, and it was like a vibe. It was like some real like boss player shit to me. That's what I liked from Biggie. It was like the boss player shit, and just like, you know what I'm saying? He has a lot of like whatever songs. I know it was short lived, but a lot of his songs, his hooks was just they just resonated with you.
I mean, this is the next episode. We will record a whole separate episode because I have a whole theory on this. But I see a trend with you. What about, so if you had a producer to, I'm not going to give you a either or on this. Who's producing your whole album? Name one producer.
Damn, that's tough.
Who's going to handle the production on that?
Damn, you gonna break it down for regions for me, like, or it gotta be just one? Is this a?
Yeah, I'm gonna say
that's tough, bro. That's a tough, like.
Yeah, man. Like that one producer who's gonna do your whole album. You know what I mean? How Dre and Daz kind of? Well, I guess Dre didn't handle Snoop. Dre and Daz did both of those Snoop albums, but. you know, Pharrell did the Clips album. Diddy kind of handled the production on the majority of Big's album, or the Hitmen. You remember them? DJ, not DJ, Stevie J and D-Dot.
Damn, bro, because it's like, all right, I'm not going to go.
Okay, let me make this easy for you. Okay, so we're about to release your single, and you get to pick a producer to, and now this single is going to, you know, of course, catapult or take your shit to the next level or put it on the radio, the video, you know, it's going to get picked up for commercials, ads, all this shit, licensed for movies and shit. That one producer who's going to take you there, who would you pick? Now, that's not handling the majority of your album, but that one producer, that team, that guy you hit up, be like, hey, dude, let's do this song.
Shit.
You better say, there's only one answer to this.
I'm going with Timbaland.
Okay. That's not the answer I was thinking, but that's just good enough. Okay. I would say Timbaland or Pharrell are going to take it to the, do what they have to do, commercial.
Oh, Timbaland.
Okay. That's a good choice.
For
that's a good
sure.
choice.
Like, I mean, Pharrell was like, that was my next choice. Yeah, that was my next choice was Pharrell.
Okay, so that's a good answer, though, man. I mean, you can't go wrong with Tim. So other than this music shit, though, what else you got going on? What do you got coming up? What can we look forward to with you?
So right now, man, I've been kind of tapping into, like, the whole modeling scene a little bit. Just kind of get my feet wet with that, working on different campaigns. I can't speak about it right now because we're still trying to handle, like, paperwork and all that shit. So, yeah, modeling and I'm trying to get a little bit more into, like art, man, or, like, you know, painting and drawing and stuff like that. So I've been kind of, you know, taking some art classes and just tapping into that little pocket of artistry. And, it, you know, it's, like, more sort of therapeutic than anything, but for the most part, man, just, like, outside of music, just the modeling scene for me.
Yeah, that's dope, man. That's dope. So you, a full brand, you know what I'm saying, modeling, music, art. I don't know what else you do. You're a heartthrob, too, because you remember you said you listened to Sade, and I taught you how to. So, yeah, watch out for that, too. But, yeah, man, where can they find you? Where can the people find you?
Man, you can follow me on Instagram, ATHA, the number one, IE. All my music is on Spotify, Apple, Tidal, Napster, Google Play Music.
Napster? Is that a thing?
Bruh, my distributors, bro, they got it on Napster,
oh,
dog.
Shit.
I don't even, yeah, bro, it's an actual thing.
I got money
thing.
Then, because y'all.
Yeah, it's different. I don't even think anyone uses that shit, but yeah.
It's there.
It's there, and I'm working on my site right now, so.
Spell your name again.
All right, so my name is spelled ATHA, the number one, IE. But how you say my name and pronounce my name is Italian. The H is silent, don't forget that. And it's spelled ATHALIE. But on my Instagram, my handle is ATHA, the number one, IE.
You guys hear that? You guys make sure you follow my boy. Check him out, stream, and share his shit. And if you want to join in on this conversation with me, hit me up at Sean Allen Live on all platforms. See you next time.
Yeah.
Hey, it's Danny Pellegrino from Everything Iconic. Ready to upgrade your style game without blowing your budget? Check out Quince. They've got all the good stuff, shirts and polos, activewear and fine leather goods, all at 50 to 80% less than other high-end brands. And the best part? They're all about safe, ethical and responsible manufacturing. Get that luxury vibe without the luxury price tag. Hit up Quince.com/upgrade for free shipping and 365-day returns on your next order. That's Quince.com/upgrade.
Even when we're on a budget, we still deserve nice things. Quince is a place to scoop up stunning high-end goods for 50 to 80% less than similar brands. They have buttery soft cashmere sweaters starting at $50, luxurious Italian leather bags, and so much more. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. Get the high-end goods you'll love without the high price tag with Quince. Go to quince.com/style for free shipping and 365-day returns.